we are dealing with an ocean who is the one originator of our being, toward whom we should first and constantly practice piety. God, except for His loving omnipotence, none of us would be here. And it is not just originating, say, as a human being, in Confucian thought. Piety is devotion to the originators of every part of my being. And thus, my teachers, those over the years, say, whose books I've read, those over the years who say homilies, or shall I add, classes we may have attended, in the deepest sense of the word, in the most profound sense of the word, we depend on one another for everything. Of course, the one other, which we capitalize, who is behind every other being, is God. No person ever, even for a moment, enters our lives coincidentally. The telephone call, a drunken voice, 2 a.m., is not a coincidence. God plans everything, and therefore piety, as I can say, our understanding of this gift is devotion to everyone who so far, and until we enter eternity, who has in any way brought us, given us what we now possess. And some of these benefactors may have been, shall I say it, painful people. And sometimes the more painful their communication to us, the more precious is what God using these blank persons to be our benefactors. And this is Simon pure Confucianism. I hope I'm clear how much we can learn. All depends on realizing that God is one's highest parent. And that again is Confucianism. We go on. In Confucianism, given what we've just said, you would expect that with such profound respect for one's ancestors. And remember, and I'm talking English, I wish I could talk in Chinese. But I repeat, our ancestors are not only, pardon me, not even mainly, ancestors of our bodies. Our ancestors are also ancestors of our spirit. and that is that the devotion to our ancestors is not just respecting, but being so devoted to one's ancestors, both in body and in spirit, that the centuries between us now and our ancestors has nothing to do with how devoted we should be. Devoted to whom? Devoted to those who centuries have shared with us what God gave them, and then we marvelously are able to. And by the way, this is one reason over the years I have devoted so many thousands of sleepless hours to writing books. Long after the Lord calls the sinner into eternity, that there will be, a heritage of thought and ideas. When as I have to watch myself, how I put it, when, remember I told you about the last dinner that I had with a girl who already had our wedding date set. Well, the last thing on earth I wanted to do is give up my fatherhood. Am I plain? There are two kinds of fathers. Fathers of our bodies and fathers of our souls. And, of course, now the value of sound education. And this is crucial. Oh, I wish the opponents of home education would at least one simple page of the writings of Confucius. The stress in Confucianism is not on academic training, but on family instruction, by word and example. And whether I'm walking or being driven, I don't drive, I am driven. And I see so many, whatever they call them, places for child care. Close to 60% of people employed in the United States are women. Only one observation. My God. My God. How children need both their parents. And how blind the Americans are. So I think I've said this before. Give a lecture in Virginia as part of the commission for Russia. The Archbishop of Moscow there in the audience, I told the people, the most powerful Marxist country in the world, remember, is the United States. Bill and Hillary Clinton are both strong, committed Marxists to the core. And the last thing that Marxism wants is family life. If somebody would remind me, someone would remind me to the next class on the 15th of March to bring a copy of the book on the family, authored by Lennon and Engels. 500 pages in ordinary edition. The family, taught Marx, is a creation of men, masculine gender, to dominate women. And the most important thing that society needs, shall we still call it society, according to Marx, is the family must be removed. And the state must control. Are we ever a Marxist nation? And this is the very opposite to every syllable that Confucius ever wrote. The role of Mencius to save Confucianism for history or for posterity. If I were spending more time, I could then give you, well, something of Mencius's thinking. There is some of it in the book, which I commend to your reading. Because over the centuries, there have been many opponents, hostile powers, opposed to Confucius' thinking. And of course, the single most powerful force now is Marxism. Praise God, Confucianism will survive the communist revolution. Now, heresies against Confucius, especially Taoism and Mohism. Taoism. Each man, and that means both genders, for himself. And Mohism. Love all equally. Needless to say, Marxism built both on Taoism and Mohism. As I have to say this, Marxism built on Protestantism. It is building on Protestants in our country. In Protestantism, there is no church founded by Christ which has authority to tell anyone what to do. Zero. It's the state.